The title for my homily this morning is, What Kind of Kingdom Is This? One of the key themes that we see in St. John's Gospel is that question. So what kind of kingdom is this that Jesus has ushered into this world? And one of the things that we see at play in John's Gospel, focused on here for the first time this morning, is we're told that the people, after the feeding of the 5,000, want to make Jesus king by force, because they understand that he is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Moses said, "After me, another prophet like me will arise." And the people understood that that prophet would be the Messiah. Now, just keep this in mind for a moment, and let's turn later into John's Gospel, to chapter 19, where we have a very interesting interaction between Pontius Pilate and Jesus. You'll remember that in John's Gospel, we're told these words: Pilate also wrote a title and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now, here's the point. We know this very well, don't we? But we might not know that this is only found in John's Gospel. He's the only Gospel writer who puts these words, that Pilate said that this is the King of the Jews. But remember as well, as part of the interaction between Pilate and Jesus, when Pilate says, "So you are a king, are you?" Jesus says, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from this world." Now keep all of this in mind, and one more point. Remember in the trial of Jesus in John's Gospel, Pilate recognizes that Jesus is innocent. And he says to the people, "What do you want me to do with the King of the Jews?" And do you remember how the people answer? "We have no king but Caesar." Remarkable. We have no king but Caesar. Now, perhaps some of the same people who were here in John 6 wanting to make Jesus a king by force, a few years later, actually 1 year later, are among the crowd saying, "We have no king but Caesar," because Jesus did not cut the mustard. He wasn't what we were expecting. And you need to appreciate that for St. John, the Gospel writer, this is a huge theme. Remember, John is the Gospel writer who also wrote the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, he says, "I am on the island of Patmos because of the word of God." In other words, Caesar has put John on Patmos. But while on Patmos, John says these words, "I am your brother, and I share with you in Jesus the suffering, the kingdom, and the patient endurance." What John the pastor, John the bishop, wants us to understand is, even contrary to all appearances, Jesus is the true king. And it's true if you're living in 70, 80 AD in Jerusalem or in Asia Minor, or if you're living during COVID in the spring of 2021. It seems that someone else is king. So how does John, in today's Gospel reading, help us to see the true kingdom of Jesus? Well, there are two points that I want to focus on for just a couple of minutes. The first, of course, is this idea that he truly is the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. The early church fathers loved to read biblical stories with an idea of allegory. And they understood the five loaves as representing the five books of the Torah, the law. And then they saw the two fish as representing the prophets and the writings of the Old Testament. So in other words, the loaves, the Torah, the fish, the writings, and the prophets, it's the whole of the Old Testament. And what the early fathers understood was that as Jesus takes the loaves and the fish and multiplies them, that the word that is the Hebrew scriptures will then go out to the world because he truly is the fulfillment. And so it's not accidental that John then says that there were 12 baskets left. Remember this idea that in the Old Testament, the tribes were scattered, and Jesus comes to reunite the tribes. And that's what we see in this story. So it's first of all this story of fulfillment. But then secondly, and equally importantly, it is a story that invites our cooperation. For indeed, we see that this boy cooperates with the Lord, the apostles cooperate with the Lord, and because of that cooperation, the Lord's purposes are achieved. Now here's just another point. We're told by John that these loaves were made from barley flour. Barley was the bread of the poor. Barley was often fed to animals. And so you've got the barley, the bread of the poor. You've got these two small fish, maybe a little bigger than sardines. And what Jesus does is he takes such meager offerings and he feeds 5,000 men plus the women and children that were present on that grassy plain. So what does this all mean for us? Well, it brings us to this point where every day we gather for the breaking of the bread. And in that reading from John's Gospel, we're told that Jesus gives thanks and then he breaks the bread. And as you may know, that word in Greek for giving thanks is the word Eucharisto, from which we get the word the Eucharist. So here's the thing that we are always about. Whenever you and I gather for the Eucharist, in the midst of this world where there are so many other people vying for our recognizing them to be king, we recognize that the true king is here. And in all that we face in our lives, every challenge, every obstacle, every time that we might question and wonder, how long is this going to go on? We find ourselves with the early Christian community. Understanding what Gamaliel understood when he spoke to the council. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. This is called the Gamaliel principle. And my beloved brothers and sisters, the very fact that we are here today, 2,000 years later, is evidence of the truth that King Jesus and his mission did not fail. It has succeeded. But in a world like this, we will always feel like a minority community. In a world like this, there are louder voices that are saying, "We have no king but you." But for those of us who belong to Christ, for those who come to this Eucharistic meal, we say thank you, Jesus, that you are the King, that you have fulfilled the promises of Israel, and remarkably, you invite me to cooperate with you in my place of weakness, bringing my barley loaves and my two fish, to you so that you can use them to expand and extend your work. Thank you, King Jesus, for your faithfulness.